Blog Talk Radio. Log Talk Radio.
This thing right here, yeah. It's for my people in the streets.
Yes, today. You know, as we start this show, this one mic.
We will. There is a pause throughout the stadium as this man sounds like he just coughs up a lung. They're looking around. The Jumbotron shows and pans the cheerleaders, and as it goes down each cheerleader's face, each one breaks up into laughter, which at this particular time destroys half the stadium. The other half is still trying to figure out what the hell just happened. Does this guy need CPR or something? And then at that particular time, I lost it. Devon Brooks.
Yes. Today,
Love Talk Radio.
Show this one, Mike.
Phoenix is another place. They got a great training staff. I mean, they were able to breathe life back into Shaq. And if you can do that, then people talk a lot about their training staff.
Yes, today, you know, as we start this show, this one mic.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Can you dig it? Welcome. One mic. Yes, we continue to be here in the dog days of summer, but it's been interrupted by our great ladies from the WNBA who have lifted their voice, and the league has responded. We got NFL training camps opening up. I think we got about 60,000 up in Green Bay for family night. It's getting hot. Oxnard, California, you got the Cowboys over there doing their thing. We got the Rams in their new home outside of L.A., and they had, about 10,000 people at practice yesterday, energy in there today. It's getting crazy. The Olympics are around the corner, and then we got Donald Trump. We won't talk about him tonight. But welcome to One Mic with my man Hank and myself, and we thank you for being here with us and blessing us here on our podcast. If you're listening to us on iTunes, please take a minute, go over there and listen to us and give us a little rating. Hope you can give us a five or some feedback. We're just trying to make it happen. We're trying to do it for the people, and we love it. We're here on the Blog Talk Radio airways, brought to you by Blog Talk Radio, and it just feels good to be here, and I'm here with my guy Hank. How you doing tonight?
Hey, man, I feel great. We're in the dog days of summer. You know, things are starting to heat up. You know, it's been hot. It's been a real hot summer, and it's only going to get hotter. And you know what? To coin a phrase from the great Donald Trump, only we can make this show great.
Oh, man. I mean, we could probably spend an hour and a half on the two conventions. I was watching that stuff like must-see TV. But we got another must-see. It must be that hot because Draymond showing more than he should show. I know you and I, both being from the state of Michigan, it was crazy for us to see our fellow Michigan native out there showing it all, talking about he pressed the wrong button. But a bigger issue, we might not get too much into that, but what is going on with this young man? You and I were talking about it off the air. Man, I don't – Draymond, it seemed like ever since he kicked your boy in his untouchables, it's just been a slippery slope all the way for him, all the way through the finals and out the door fighting with folks up in Lansing, fighting with a Michigan State football player. You know, it's like, what are you doing back in Lansing fighting folks? And then this. And watching today on the national team, we're struggling a little bit. Where did it all go wrong? It was all good just a year ago.
You know what? The thing is about Draymond Green, and
for all the goodwill that he did last year and going into this year's playoffs. Unless you're just not paying attention, you're starting to see a very disturbing pattern. It started on the floor with some pretty bad fouls. He started to all of a sudden get a reputation of being a dirty player. Then all of a sudden that started to spill over out into off the court. Like as you mentioned with the incident, you know, with the Michigan State football player, a Michigan State football player, an alumnus of Michigan State, which is Draymond Green, and a current player, all right, out there clowning at a club, and he just loses his mind on him. And now you've got this Snapchat. You know, I don't know what's going on with him. Again, I don't know if this is all of a sudden he decided to come back home and do some goodwill and got a hold of some bad Flint water and now he's lost his mind. I don't know what's going on with him. But I can tell you right now that he's starting to get attention drawn to himself, which is not very good. You know, it's going to start costing him some money. It's going to start costing him whatever reputation he's got left. I don't know. But I will say this, that I would be remiss if I didn't get me a dig in. But see, this is what happens when you got that Michigan State education. All of a sudden, you start losing your mind a little bit. You know, that's what happens. You know, they keep on talking about that red cedar. They must be smoking that red cedar.
See, and for those of you who don't know, you know, Hank is firmly got firm footing down there in that other university in the state with the winged helmet. So you know he's gonna put a dig in on Michigan State. Go Blue. I'll give you that one.
Blue.
It's been a great summer. It's been a great summer, man. And you know, aside from politics, we're beginning to see, you know, here in recent weeks. In beginning, I mean, it's been happening a lot, but really, when you think about, I think you and I touched on this a little bit when LeBron and the guys did their thing opening up to ESPY. Then you see, which I think is, you know, even more impressive, is what's happening with the women in the WNBA, which ended up getting them fined. And a lot of folks were saying, well, why did they get fined? And then when the stuff happening with Sterling or Trayvon, that the NBA players get fined. Well, the NBA sent a letter out to, like a cease to behavior kind of letter, and the players stopped in the NBA. They sent the same letter to the women, and they kept going. And I like the fact they kept going and mm-hmm. were uniting their message and doing it. And then Michael Jordan comes out and communicates, you know, for the first time really taking a public stance. And he got some criticism from some cats in the media. People kill me. First people say, well, you know, Mike isn't political enough. Mike comes out, makes a stance, tries to figure out how he could support even through donations and things to get things done. And folks still criticize. You know,
right.
I can't get into that. But Mike does what Mike can do on this. And so you see Mike doing this. Hank, are you seeing this kind of bubbling up and happening, in particular with the women in the WNBA? What was your reaction to that?
Well, see, I thought there was a little bit of hypocrisy there because, see, when the women wore the shirts to, you know, draw awareness to violence during the Orlando crisis, you know, there was applause there. And then when they did it for this particular case, all of a sudden they're being fined. Now, listen, I think that, you know, athletes, entertainers, they've got an amazing platform to draw awareness to this sort of thing. You know, albeit for me to give Michael Jordan any sort of credit, but I think that, you know, you have that platform, you have that opportunity to do that, and you should do that. You should draw awareness. Now, I think that what happens is you start getting these the front offices of these institutions, of these organizations, and they start getting nervous because all they see is dollar signs. and they don't want to alienate anybody who's going to spend their hard-earned money on their product, especially when you're talking about something like the WNBA, you know, when you've only got a niche of the population that's going to those games in the first place. The last thing you want to do is make that political. You've got a little bit more wiggle room with the NBA. You've got a lot of people who could care less whether you take a political stance or not. I'm going to watch my professional basketball. So I understand where they're coming from a business perspective, but I think that, you know, when you are going to, it's either going to be all or nothing. You can't sit here and have them support one cause and you're okay with it and not support another. But while we're on this topic, I think that what Michael Jordan said made more sense. I can't believe I'm giving him any credit. But anyway, because it's about the totality of the violence, you know, with law enforcement as well as with young black men, that the whole thing needs to stop and that we need to be a better society to make that happen. I agree with that. That you can use your whole brain and not like everything that's going on, much less try to take sides. And I think that what happens is, you know, like I said, with a niche sport like the WNBA, those folks are scared to death is that the fan base that they got, they don't want to upset them in any shape, fashion, or form.
You know, and I think, you know, what's interesting about this, and I agree, I think Michael, you know, for what he can do, I think he was right on track. It was actually interesting. We had a community service with all the pastors here in my home area where I go, and the pastor who was leading the sermon today was talking about us against them. He said mm-hmm. It's always us against them. And his message was that spiritually it's always been about all of us, but we create this dichotomy of us against them. And what I thought was beautiful about the message for the women in the WNBA, particularly in Minnesota, Lynx women, that they were about, it wasn't about us against them. In fact, in their shirts, they recognized the lost lives, but law enforcement and the lost lives of young black men. And mm-hmm. as a understanding that this is a community problem. And to have the officers who were there react and some walk away was interesting in terms of people being able to uphold their responsibility in a place. Like, regardless of how you feel, you have a duty as a public servant to stay where you're at. And so they had a message that was really about everybody, in a sense,
mm-hmm.
recognizing the loss on both sides. And so I love the fact that you're seeing that kind of nuancing and that kind of thought around it in a short period of time, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
You know, the turnaround wasn't fast, you know what I'm saying? It was, they had thought this out and done it. And then, you know, at all the press conferences, use their platform to continue to talk about it, wasn't going to answer the questions about the game. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, we always say, you know, we have this project that I worked on with my advisor around this concept of what happens beyond the game. And we always are asking athletes to do this, and when they demonstrate these things, we are like, well, just give us your sports. And the hypocrisy around that, you know, we criticize them when they don't do it. Then when they do it, you criticize, just give me your basketball. And I'm glad that, like you said, they're continuing to use these platforms and to keep it out in front of people, because this is a serious issue. You know, it's serious when, you know, men like you and I, who have gone to school, done everything right, and we still got to drive down the street with our ID on the dashboard. That can't happen.
No.
So we got to figure out, and I have friends who are law enforcement. I have mentors who are law enforcement people who were playing basketball with me when I was in college. And so, you know, I'm looking at this in a hope. But if you have a platform, as we always have here on Real Sports Guys, we're going to use it. To improve humanity. So all ups to everybody who is keeping this conversation alive, because it's important, because at least the people are doing it, because it appears that our politicians aren't. So it's going to be up to us to talk about these things.
What people fail to realize, too, is that, you know, you can't expect the policy. The politicians don't live in your community. The politicians
don't
live down in you. You know, the politicians don't live in Minnesota, and if they do, they don't live in the part that you live in. Okay, and so what you have to understand that, you know, especially on this thing, is that there are a lot of people, okay, black, white, all different colors, that know somebody who knows somebody who's in law enforcement, okay? This is why this is not just a us versus them sort of thing. You know, what if you know, you got a situation that happens, but your brother-in-law or your cousin or your nephew or somebody is a police officer, is a detective, okay? Or your wife or your husband. This hits home. Okay, let's say you're of color in this country, and something like happens, and someone that's close to you is law enforcement. That rips a whole family apart. So this is what people need to understand. It does not have to be an us versus them. It should not be an us versus them in 2016, but it is a problem. It is an epidemic. It has gone on for a long time, and people need to be made aware. Social media has made it out there so everybody who didn't think it was a problem is now out there for you to see. It's something that people in the black community can tell you has been going on forever. And now, you know, and cops get killed all the time. And now we need to, as a people, as one people, figure out a way to solve it. So I applaud anybody who has the platform to be able to bring awareness to it. And now it becomes the long, tedious issue of trying to get it resolved and as soon as possible.
Well, you know, Speaker of the House Ryan, I think, lives about 5 minutes from me. He was just around the block at the Rock County Fair. I should have walked down there and talked to him. You know, I've been in his office before, you know, so we also need to step into their office and have a conversation with these folks so that they can understand how important it is on the ground. Well, you know, this is going to get on the Real Sports Guys. I just want y'all to know that. When we come back, we're going to get into some NFL, spring training, free agency. We're going to get into some NFL talk, and you know Hank got something to say about it. When we come back, we're going to talk some of that stuff and have a little fun with that. But, you know, right now I'm going to hit some stuff that, you know, ain't no half-stepping. Hank, as usual, thank you for listening to the podcast. If you are interested in listening to us and subscribe to us on iTunes, go to realsportsguys.com. You get one mic, you get the big show, you get everything that's on the Real Sports Guys platform. You can also get to iTunes through realsportsguys.com and just look for the iTunes emblem and then just click on it and it will take you there. But we love it. Please give us some feedback. We want to keep making this show work for the people. So it's NFL preseason, campus opening up in Green Bay. We got, I think, 70,000 people at family night. The Rams opened up in their new home in L.A., practiced yesterday. I think they had about 10,000 people probably again today. They said it was like, you know, it was like a concert, music going, people excited, cheering. You know, football season is here. But we had a lot of stuff happen up until this point. You know, we had Brown in Pittsburgh, people thinking he's going out. He came to camp. Rooney's going to try and get a deal. We got some stuff happening down there in Texas with their top receiver who thought he was going to get a new deal. Then you had some movement happen around. And, you know, and a lot of times it's not the big moves, but it's a small move. But, you know, it kind of kicked off with Bradford thinking he was going to squeeze the Eagles and ends up coming back, having to, lick his wounds and take the deal he could get. You have a couple other quarterbacks who didn't do what they needed to do. And then Denver, you know, pretty much didn't get what they needed in free agency and ended up with Sanchez and possibly, you know, might have, you know, you're not really sure who's going to be there for starting day. So, free agency has been kind of wild in the NFL. Hank, you've been kind of looking at this. You know, what have you noticed in the free agency season, and what are the things that have kind of piqued your interest?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, obviously, when you look at this free agent, when you see practice starting, preseason starting, you could tell that the NFL is a different animal than it was in the past. You know, mm-hmm. they get to the point where these guys are holding out, and they're coming to camp. They're not getting any deals. They're not getting the deals they want. You know, so that's what I'm starting to see is like we're not going to just pay you, because guys, first of all, you think about the guys that retired even before preseason started. All right, that they were done. You're going into the season without a Marshawn Lynch. You're going in with a couple other folks. J.J. Watt's not going to be ready when the season starts. You know, but I just want to kind of touch upon what you just said about Denver. Denver ought to be ashamed of themselves, okay? Denver ought to be ashamed of themselves. They're going into the season knowing that Manning was going to retire. That they were going to have a hard time. What's the young man that they had? They didn't sign him back.
Osweiler.
Okay. They need to be on that. Okay. Anytime the Sanchez is one of your quarterbacks, you're in trouble. If they were going to do that, they would have been better suited to draft them a quarterback. They're going in. That is a situation right there. That is a problem. Okay. So bring the memory to me again, D. One quarterback was released, asked to be traded. Was it Foles? Foles.
Well, you got Foles, who's struggling with, you know, Foles is a long line of these quarterbacks who ate on a short leash, went, got paid, realized that, you know, he wasn't doing that well. They go out and get a first round quarterback, and then he mad that they got a first round quarterback. Like people, yeah. It's fool's gold. So Foles want to be released. Now, what's going to happen with him?
Well, see, that's the thing. If they're going, from what I understand, the team granted him his release. He needs to get a flight out to Denver yesterday and see if he can't, get his career back together. Denver is in it for a defending Super Bowl champion to go in with that situation and not try to draft or move up and draft their next quarterback. That to me is astonishing. Okay? It just really is. Now, I'm pretty sure we're real early into this, and they're going to have to figure out what they got. But from what you see on that roster, it don't look – if I'm a Denver fan, I'm like, well, I'm glad we won last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you sit there with, you know, Nick Foles, you know, asked the Rams to cut him because they drafted Goff. And you got to think, you go like, well, you didn't give him anything to cheer about. And so it's like you got a inflated ego and you can't beat out this rookie. It's
My question to you is this.
I don't know what.
but let me ask you this now. And that just speaks to his own insecurity. But let me ask you this. Wouldn't you have at least made a play for Colin Kaepernick? I mean, you've got a dumpster fire in San Francisco right now. Wouldn't you have at least? He's still very young. You've got, you know, a very good coaching staff, a quarterback coaching staff over there. Kubiak is still over there. Wouldn't you have at least made a play for him? If you're Denver?
Yeah, I was surprised they didn't get Kaepernick. I wonder, I mean, I have to look back at it. I wonder if they were asking for too much money or too much in return for the trade. Because
I mean,
he's
gotta
be that.
I guess go ahead, I'm sorry.
You know, I think you're right on. I mean, that or RG3, I mean, you got to look at something that's better than the Sanchez. I mean, I think he's going to do
– they'll
find a way to make him look good.
Here's the thing about RG3, though. RG3, the jury is out, okay? The jury is out because and quite frankly, I don't think it's all his fault, all right? I don't think that he got the best, you know, in what he needed to really develop in Washington. But that being said, you got a player in a Colin Kaepernick that it did at least lead a team to the Super Bowl, and you know,
yeah.
So you get him with some folks who know what they're doing, he might can recapture some of that. He's still a very young quarterback. I'm stunned by that whole set of
circumstances. Especially with the Kubiak running game.
I'm stunned with that. I mean, who could you have asked for? You won the Super Bowl. If you gave away draft picks, probably wouldn't impact the team that much this year anyway. So go get your quarterback so you can at least compete. I don't see them competing. They're not going to make the playoffs with that crew they got.
Yeah, and they got an inflated defense that, you know, one thing about defense, man, if you get too overconfident, there's a great thing about confidence, but overconfidence is dangerous. Even when you think about
mm-hmm.
Seattle was dominant for Bennett, but they got overconfident. They weren't as dominant last year. They were still good, but I didn't feel like they were. Nobody was scared of them.
Well, again,
and,
they lost a couple of players, see, and this is what people fail to realize. You play football. That team chemistry is a son of a gun. You got to have team chemistry
is.
on your defensive front. You got to have team chemistry in your secondary. You got to have team chemistry in your linebacking court, and you got to have overall team chemistry. So you take a few of those pieces away and think you're just going to plug in something else and just scheme the daylights out of something. Well, in the NFL, when you see the same thing every year, okay, you can scheme against that. Okay, I don't have so-and-so in this spot that I had there last year. I can beat this man where I couldn't beat the guy last year. You know, so that's what that's all about. And then you don't have a Marshawn Lynch, you're talking about Seattle, who wasn't healthy all year. And beast mode meant a lot to that running game, all right? And then also your passing game for Russell Wilson wasn't as potent or was nearly as potent as it was the year they went to the Super Bowl. All those things make a difference. They make a difference. You know, so when you're looking at this whole thing, and you're right. So you think they're going to rely upon that defense, but if it's not the same defense and if they're on the field more because your offense ain't giving you nothing, that's going to wear out in a very grueling 16-game NFL season.
And, you know, one thing, I love you saying chemistry. I always hear people in the media like, there's no such thing as chemistry. I'm like, you never play sports. Like,
never.
You've already just told me you never play sports.
Never.
Because if you play, you never play on a championship team. It's like if you just said there's no such thing as chemistry, then I'm like, you never really played sports, did you? You are a sports journalist, but you may have played intramural. Y'all didn't win. You didn't play sports, but I'm glad you talk about it because I think it's underestimated even when these GMs and folks are making moves. It's that if you don't chemistry is everything from locker room policing.
Thank you.
It's the cats who keep you loose on the plane. It's the leaders who check in on a young guy who's doing that. It's the folks who get out there in a pressure moment and able to release the pressure and say, hey, we got this. It's all those little things that help you through those moments, that give you a sense that other person's got your back no matter what, that you can rely on, you can execute, know they got you. It's all that stuff, and I'm glad you. And I think sometimes even teams, these GMs, a lot of these GMs, that's the downside of having these GMs who came from business school and not to you, business
right.
school, but didn't do it on the gridiron at Michigan, because you can do all the analytics in the world, but if you can't see the nuances and understand how these pieces around chemistry play with the analytics, then you're missing it. You need the quantitative and the qualitative. I'm going to stop preaching.
You're absolutely right. You got to be able to. See, I will always be. You can have all the stats on. I will always be. There's got to be a gut feel for somebody. Okay? There's got to be a gut feel for what's going on in the locker room, what's going on in between plays. You know, and you say, if you've never played and won a championship, or if you've never played and just know what that feeling is when you know that ain't nobody on that field got it today. For some reason, that it ain't there today. But we got to figure out a way to get it. I mean, everybody feels it, all right? If you ever play, guys out there, you know what that's all about. When you out there, for some reason, y'all been rolling, and all of a sudden, I can't get it, you can't get it, what we going to do, fellas? What we going to do? And when you start just plugging somebody in there that ain't got that same, ain't gone through that with you, and they're like, hey, I'm just here, like Marshawn said, I'm just here so I don't get fined, but they're not producing the same thing. You can say whatever what you want to about somebody's on-field persona, but what you got in the locker room, what you got off-field, makes just as much of a difference. And like you said, I'm just going to get somebody because they had 15 sacks last year, then they come to your team and they can't get three. All right, and all of a sudden they want to blame the player. Chemistry has a lot to do with that, Chief. You know that.
That's right. And there's some sneaky moves that were made. I always like the sneaky moves. Not really sneaky, but, you know, people think, well, these guys don't have it, or this was a move you weren't really paying attention to because a whole bunch of other stuff was happening. So I love the Forte move to the Jets. You know, I think with the way that they play and run the ball, I think he's going to add something there. Lamar Miller going to the Texans, I think is going to be a really good play. And you and I talked about it before. If you're talking about solidifying and getting some footing, you know, this is the year of believe when. I like Griffin with Hugh Jackson. You know, it's a guy who thinks he can – he's a quarterback whisperer. He'll make it. He's not – I think part of the problem he had, the Griffin had, you pointed out in D.C. with Washington, is that the coaches there, both Gruden and whatever, just thought – they just wanted to – beat him down and get him to do it their way. And
right.
he had some problems because he wasn't ready to conform. This is a kid that could have gone to law school. I mean, people forget that. That's how smart he is. I mean, he wasn't just playing at Baylor. He was a student at Baylor. And so that
right.
was an inflated ego. When you get to law school, you got a certain ego about you. He'd been humbled. I think that's a good match for him
right.
because I think he was so creative as a play designer and caller that I think he can really excel in that space. And there's some sneaky moves that I think have happened that I call GM moves and coach moves that are going to help some teams down the line. You got Long. I think Long went to – who was that with the Rams? Chris Long.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's up in with the Pats. You know, it's
right.
that like – and I said Belichick been working on that defense for about 3 or 4 years, so people have been talking junk. So next year his defense is going to look good. So you start to see some of those moves – happening that I've really liked. Are there some moves that you've seen that teams have done either to retain a player or pick up a player that you thought was that's a solid move?
Well, let me tell you something. You know, you mentioned that, and there is one move that just kind of intrigues me, and maybe it's just because it's the name, but when Anquan Boldin signed with the Detroit Lions. Now, anybody remember the old Anquan Boldin? You know, you're talking about an amazing receiver, but now he's 30-something years old, and basically he's coming in to help replace Calvin Johnson. But they also had another receiver that they signed up in the offseason, okay, the receiver from Cincinnati. So now you've got a couple of very viable receivers in Detroit. I'm interested to see this is to me, because this is make or break for Matthew Stafford, as you know, around here. You know,
yeah.
people hate the quarterback and the goalie for the and the pitching staff for the professional teams. But this is going to really see if Matthew Stafford really has what it takes to make his team better. Because a lot of people said that he relied on Calvin so much. But if you talk to Calvin Johnson, he was so broke up, it was all he could do to get on the field. So you're going to have some viable receiving corps. So we're going to see what that's all about. I thought that was a good move. You got you a proven receiver with good hands, got good size. Okay? He could become a weapon. Now, I'm not talking about the Anquan Boldin of 5 years ago. But does he have enough in the tank to help get this offense rolling so they can establish some sort of passing game and running game? I know the Lions picked up another offensive lineman too. But I've been in more of a watch and see mode because, you know, the teams do this right now, try to develop depth or see what they're going to do, because a lot of times they don't know if these rookies are going to pan out right away or whatever. So they go and pick up some wily veterans, if you will, and then they just kind of let's see what's happening. It's so early now. The camp's just opened up. I'm still in wait-and-see mode with a lot of them myself.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about some college football. Big 12 wants to expand. College football is around the country, the corner. And, you know, we're all excited. So we'll talk a little Big 12 and kind of think about, you know, what are the possibilities with the Big 12 expansion when we come back here. To One Mic, you're here with my guy Hank, and you're here with Devon.
Hi, this is Brett Bielema, the head coach of the University of Arkansas Razorbacks, and you're keeping it real with the real sports guys. Whoopig.
All right, this is One Mic. You're here with my man Hank and D. Wilson. We've been talking about everything from WNBA. You even got a little reference to Trump. We've been talking about Draymond, NFL, a little bit of training camp kind of work, and we've gotten into some of the stuff that we saw happen in free agency. And now we want to turn our attention to college football. Fight songs are going. People getting their grills ready. It's time for you to, you know, get your dimensions all set up. So when you got everybody set up for that pregame, meal, you ready to go? Got to get that TV out the garage that you usually put on the side of the motorhome when it all comes down. You know, it's that time of year, and a lot of talk with college football, everything from possibly removing kickoff from the game to Big 12 expansion. Obviously, you know, Coach Harbaugh was in the middle of it with, you know, he got the rap video coming out, and he's been killing them with that one, and then he was doing it with the satellite cam. So, you know, college football has been as crazy as ever as well, but we're going to start with Big 12 expansion. Hank, what's your thought about this Big 12 expansion? I've been looking at this. I think there's a couple of things they got to work out. But if you were thinking about teams going to Big 12, what teams do you think would be a good fit for Big 12?
Well, listen, they need to expand first and foremost if they're going to continue, in my opinion, to be a Power 5 conference. They've only got 10 teams. They don't have a conference championship game. So they need to do something. There's a lot of teams that I think would make a lot of sense to expand the Big 12 so that, you know, they can be a viable conference. The one name that everybody keeps bantering about as a sexy pick, obviously, is the University of Houston. It's right down there in their footprint. They used to be an old Southwest Conference opponent. They've got plenty of money in Houston. Okay, they've got a huge alumni base. They'd be a perfect fit. But there's some politics that's going on with Houston, with some of the other Texas schools. That's going to be back and forth. But I think that would be an excellent pick. Another pick that sounds good as far as from a football perspective would be BYU, Brigham Young. Brigham Young is again right there in the footprint up in Utah. Expands the Pac-12 a little bit further west. But Utah also has got its own little bit of problems too with it being a religious institution. You know, they're saying their other sports won't play on Sundays. And what does that do? Then they're looking out east. They're looking at schools like Memphis, which I think would be an awesome pick. Because not just for football, but can you imagine Memphis against Oklahoma in hoop? You know, also Memphis in baseball. You know, that would be a nice, nice, sexy pick right in the heart of SEC country, you know, Tennessee right down the street. I think that would be a good one. They're also talking about Cincinnati. Cincinnati is another school, you know, puts them in Ohio, right in Big Ten country as far as recruiting. Another fine athletic program. But I think that if I'm the Big 12, I'm definitely looking at Houston. I'm definitely looking at Memphis as at least my first two. If you want to expand to 14, then I'm looking at a Brigham Young. And then, you know, maybe a Cincinnati, although Cincinnati just don't do it for me. You know, they're also looking at one of the Florida schools, either Central Florida or South Florida, one of those two.
Yeah, when I think about I think there's a couple of issues here that they got to work out. So the BYU interesting. I know Boise State was an option. I think they're going to still try to do the championship game with the 10. I think they just recently approved that. So they're at least going to have a championship game and get out of that mess right now. So if they could do BYU, and as you talked about some of the barriers that they're going to face in terms of Sundays, in terms of certain sports being able to play, now that is definitely going to be an issue. But somehow, you know, BYU's got to be working that out in other ways because they still play those sports. And so I think if they really want them, they'll find a way to make it work. I like either Memphis or figuring out how to get Cincinnati in. I mean, Cincinnati's solid basketball and solid football. They've been good football-wise. And sometimes joining a new conference can help other sports as well. I think the biggest problem for the Longhorn Network, that Texas is such a strong voice in there. At the end of the day, it comes down to your network. Where, you know, places like the Big Ten and some of these sports have really made it work. It works. I've seen the benefit of having a Big Ten network for everything, not just athletics, but there's other things they do that give schools visibility on that network. When you can't get your biggest school because they're making too much money on that the Longhorn network, the problem is because you can't come up with a solution that doesn't include Texas being in some ways Texas is holding them back because of that. So that's the problem, and as well as you said, the nervousness of having Baylor in, I mean Houston, but I think Houston might be more attractive given all the. So I think whoever the Texas teams are losing steam because of Baylor might really nix any opposition people could have to bring Houston in. Boise State was one that's a little farther, but they are established, and it's still a long trip. You know, we talk about worrying about these student-athletes, but we're way out here. I haven't heard UConn on it. I'm like, now we're really worried about student-athletes. And I'm like, UConn?
Yeah.
You know, this is ridiculous. So I think that's interesting. And if you could, you know, sway somebody from the Atlantic, you know, could you get someone from, you know, the ACC to think about it, Miami? Or something like that. Could you get a deal like that if they're not blocked in to do that? That might be interesting. See, I like getting in Florida, but I'm like two teams that they're trying to use. But I like the idea of getting into Florida. So I think it's going to be interesting, but I think that Longhorn network is really a problem.
And now let me add this too, because they've got to do something, because they've got to appease Oklahoma. All right, Oklahoma is that school that, you know, could bounce, and they have already kind of off the record said that they would be interested in going to the Pac-12 or even the Big Ten. So then they would take Oklahoma State with them. Now, if you can imagine a Big Ten D with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, that first of all, that you get the old Pac, the old Big Eight rivalry back with Nebraska and Oklahoma, which I would love to see. But you know, that automatically makes the Big Ten, you know, they rival the SEC at that point as the most powerful conference in college football. You get those two in there. This is why the Big 12 has to do something, because you have schools that's willing to bounce. And so if you don't do something to make yourself more sexier, then you got a problem.
We're back. Well, I tell you, boy, nightfall causes all kinds of problems up here. Technical difficulties, by people. I was on my grind, in my mood, as I was saying. One of the things that's beautiful about the Big Ten, and I was like, Big Ten, and it was gone. I was trying to make a point that Big Ten has an added benefit that most other conferences don't have, and it's the CIC. Which is a consortium of schools that is the most powerful resource consortium in the world, and to chancellors and provosts and faculty, the gold standard. You know, people fight to be a part of that, and so that's an added benefit on top of all the other things that you get as it relates to athletics. That's why you don't see a lot of movement. You haven't seen anything going on leaving the Big Ten, have we?
Right. What Big Ten did there, you know, when they brought in Rutgers and they brought in Maryland, then they expanded to the 14 that they needed. So now what you're looking at is, okay, is there anywhere else to go? Okay, can you go to 16? Do you need to go to 16? And what does that look like for you? But they're going to wait and see what everybody else does. And I think that if the Big Ten looks to expand anymore, they're going to go with a power school. I think that they moved, and I can tell you as a Big Ten fan, a lot of people weren't enamored about Rutgers or Maryland, but it served its purpose. It got the Big Ten out east, and that's what they wanted to be able to do. Now they became, they got some recruiting inroads to those areas, and that's what the Big 12 is trying to do. That's why you're hearing names like UConn and Florida, and you know, and they're not so enamored with Houston because it's right there. Then you're going to have a multiple Texas schools all going for the same kid, you know. So that's why they did the expansion, and they need to make sure they do it right. You know, you got you know, conferences like the Pac-12. That's the Pac-12, all up and down the coast. They're all set. They're covered. You know, the Big 12 right now had most of the Midwest, but now that's gone, especially with the Big Ten growing and the SEC growing. So they've got to make a good move to get out west and get out east with this move. But to me, they're going to be one of the most fragmented conferences of all of them.
I agree with that. And, when you're talking about balance between academics and athletics, you know, the Pac-10 is close. But when you add that research consortium that they have there, you know, the Big Ten's got a really good model. And now they got these coaches coming in who are now taking these programs, particularly in football, to the next level. So, you know, the Big Ten is in a pretty good place, and I think, you know, that's what the Big 12 wants to do. You know, and if they can get Texas, you know, I think the reason why the Big Ten could do what it did is because what happened was the powerful teams like Michigan, you know, Ohio State and others understood that they had to sacrifice in order to make sure the whole could benefit. And
right.
What you don't see in the Big 12 is a willingness of the teams that have the privilege really trying to work to make the conference work. So you see not
right.
that much movement. It doesn't look from the outside like you see a lot of movement from Texas, because Texas has said, look, let's leverage our Longhorn network. Let's figure that out, the model we have. Let's take it to the Big 12, which gives you a suspicion that is Texas thinking about leaving, because
right.
it's just that they're not thinking, and that's what people say, they're not thinking the way power teams in the Big Ten were thinking, and I think even the SEC and some of these other conferences where they understood, you know, the value was in having a strong conference.
Exactly. And you just brought up a point of why so many conferences are having a hard time with Notre Dame. You'd figure Notre Dame would
yeah.
be a perfect fit, you know, a complete fit for the Big Ten, but for their network. And they're not going to give that away.
Yeah.
They're not going to negotiate it anywhere. And so that's why you had coaches like Bo Schembechler say, the hell with Notre Dame. And see, that's what's happening with
yeah.
Texas. But Texas is so much more powerful. That and got so much more influence, especially in a conference, and that's what's causing a lot of issues.
Well, y'all, we're about to come up on that time. You know what time it is. We're about to come up on that time where my guy Hank takes this show that we like, that I love, to another level. You know, the thing about Hank is, you know, he always tries to give us a little bit of a new something here and there, you know, when he goes to Inside the Park. And so we're going to let him do it. We're going to drop this Inside the Park. Let Hank drop this knowledge on y'all with this baseball. This is one of our hot segments. People love it. And then we'll get back to other sports talk after Inside the Park.
Stay right.
You're listening to inside the park. The RSV family. My usual suspects with me. Hot baseball topic. We're just gonna jump right into it. I always come to it.
Not coming out.
The RSV family. You're listening to Inside the Park. Inside the park.
Tonight, when tonight's Inside the Park segment, and let me tell you right now, this has got to be one of the most exciting times in the baseball season. Why is it so exciting? Well, we're coming down to the dog days of the summer. We go back and we go to August 1st, starting tomorrow, and at 4 o'clock, we get to the end of the trade deadline. We are at that point where the words wild card becomes even more wilder. We're going into the part of the season right now where the last 2 months is going to be the most exciting 2 months of the whole season, where people were so frustrated with teams, they wanted to fire managers, they wanted to get rid of that player, they wanted to get rid of this player. You have teams that were on a roll, we're going all the way. Now you can't find them. And here we are right now getting started with the second half of the season well underway, a couple of weeks in. Teams trying to show whether they're men or they're mouse, if they're buyers or they're sellers, and so it's time to play ball. We start tonight's segment, we're going to talk about what's going on right now, a little bit of game action, and we see that just from today, we see that the Cleveland Indians still leading the American League Central, and they took care of the Oakland A's in the nice fashion tonight, 8-0. We see that the moving to the Detroit Tigers, who clobbers, and I mean clobbered, the Houston Astros this weekend, I think to the tone of something like 28-6 or more than that, maybe some 30 runs in three ball games. Just ridiculous, you know. Yeah, 28-6 in three games, just absolutely clobbering the Astros. We see that we got the Rangers and the Royals, where the Rangers came back and beat the Royals. The Red Sox coming with 5 runs in the 9th inning to take out the Angels. And it's just more and more action, and we're just going to get right into it. First of all, we want to kind of bring you guys up to speed on what's going on with some pretty significant injuries in the league this year. You know, we just got word that Prince Fielder was going to be out for the season with another back injury. Now, see, the thing is about Prince, he's been a pauper since he's been in Texas. You know, he was doing his thing in Detroit, had some domestic problems. Detroit Tigers got rid of him. He goes out to Texas. He's supposed to have been the man amongst men, and he hasn't gotten through a few seasons. He hasn't gotten through a complete season yet. So it's becoming a real issue right now. You got to kind of wonder about the young man's future. You know, all trends say that he should be able to recover from this, but yet and still, you know, another year that the Rangers are without Prince. I think they learned how to do about him last year, without him last year, because they seem to be rolling as the season goes on now. The big story, though, for this season has got to be the injury to the Cy Young Award winner last year, Cy Young Award winner, Clayton Kershaw. And when is he going to come back? Is he going to come back? The injury it seemed to be pretty significant, but there's no timetable on bringing back the big lefty. And that's going to be a huge problem for the Dodgers going forward. That could prompt the Dodgers to try to make a move. I know they've got names out there of players that they're looking at. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But the big lefty not being in that lineup for the Dodgers is really a problem. Now, I think he's been out now like for the last 4 weeks. The dog diagnosis say he's going to be out for probably another 4-6. And we're going to keep our eye on that. Our next Inside the Park segment, I will be able to give a better update on what's going on with Kershaw. And then a little closer to the Midwest, Mr. Jordan Zimmermann, who's been out since the All-Star break for the Detroit Tigers. Big part of that rotation. Spent a lot of money to get that man here in Detroit. And been somewhat of a disappointment, basically due to injury. Had a groin pull, had an injury to his to is a throwing shoulder. I don't think it was a not to a throwing shoulder, but I know he had a groin pull. I think that's kept him out for a while. And so he's scheduled to come back in 2 weeks. The fact of the matter is, folks, is we got three major players right now. All those teams are in the midst of a playoff move, and it's becoming real, real hairy. You just can't bring up some kid from down in AAA and say, go ahead and be a Prince Fielder, be a Clayton Kershaw, be a Jordan Zimmerman. So expect some moves from these teams if they're expecting to go a little further. So let's look at the current standings that we have right now as of July 31st, 2016, with the trade deadline less than 14 hours away. We look at the American League East, in which we have the Baltimore Orioles holding a slim half-game lead over the Toronto Blue Jays and a game-and-a-half lead over the Boston Red Sox. We look at the American League Central, in which we have the Cleveland Indians still at 4.5 over the Detroit Tigers. The American League West, where the Texas Rangers hold a 6-game lead over Houston, and Houston again got clobbered by the Tigers this week. And the Seattle Mariners lurking around 8 games back. In the National League East, we look at the Washington Nationals with a 4-game lead over the surprising and the very exciting Miami Marlins. We're going to talk about them a little bit more, too. And then last year's National League champions, the New York Mets, 6.5 games back. We look at the surging Chicago Cubs, 7 games up over the St. Louis Cardinals, and never, ever count the Cardinals out. And then the Pittsburgh Pirates. In the West, we're looking at the Giants and the Dodgers going head-to-head, with the Dodgers being 2 games back, and looking in the wings at the Colorado Rockies. Now, one thing about this time of the year, we can go with those standings all season, but that's not what we're here talking about. It's that time of the year where we start doing wild card watch. Wild card watch. We look at the National, we look at the American League, and we got Toronto and Boston that are right now the wild, would be in if the season ended today, with the Detroit Tigers a game back and the Houston and the Houston Astros 2.5 back. Following closely behind is the Seattle Mariners at 4.5 games back. Now, why is that so significant? Because when you look at the Mariners, they're pretty much out of it as far as the American League West is concerned. Some 8 games back, and Texas is surging. Okay, and Texas is looking to make a couple of moves to close out that division. But you look at what Seattle is. What is Seattle going to do? They're kind of on the fringe right now. You look at them; they're 52-50, just a couple of games over 500. You got some 60 games left. Do you make a move? What can you do to get yourself over the hump? I've always contended that the Seattle Mariners could use another bat. You know, they just don't score enough runs, in my opinion, to stay in it. They've got to look out there and see what bats are available. This is one of those teams where everybody's looking for pitching. This is one team I think that needs a bat. We move over to the National League, and we see the Dodgers, and again, the surging and the very exciting Miami Marlins. The Miami Marlins, folks, would be in the playoffs if the season were to end today, and they are playing some great ball. Okay, set aside that you have a very fine pitching staff, a very young team. You've got Giancarlo Stanton hitting the ball from South Beach all the way up to Washington, D.C. somewhere. I mean, they are a very exciting team to watch. You know, they play very good baseball. They play very exciting baseball. They put a whooping on the Cardinals the other day, 11-0. So this is a team that we might want to keep an eye on. Okay, speaking of those Cardinals, even though they took that whooping, they're only 1 game out of the wild card. This is a team that's always in it. You never count the Cardinals out, and look for the Cardinals to do something as well. Okay? In fact, the Cardinals, I believe, already did something. If I'm not mistaken, they just picked up Wade Miley. I'll check on that just shortly. Look at the New York Mets. Last year's, again, National League champions. 2.5 games back. And then the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Colorado Rockies down a little bit. Pittsburgh 4 games out. Colorado 5 games out. A lot of baseball left to play. A lot of teams with a lot of optimism. The problem is, what can you do? Can you do anything? You know, and what should you do? Should you trade? I mean, should you sell? Should you buy? You know, let's talk about that a little bit, because we've already had some trades that's happened over the course of the last couple of weeks, closing in on the deadline, we see that Aroldis Chapman, 105 miles an hour, Aroldis Chapman, has been traded to the Chicago Cubs. The Cubs are serious this year, folks. You know, these aren't your laughable losers, your lovable losers. This team means business. You know, Theo Epstein is over there, came from Boston and ended that curse. He is fully intended to lift the curse here in Chicago. They've got Aroldis Chapman to close out the ninth inning for that team. That's a great move. They got Melvin Upton Jr., also known as DJ Upton, that goes to the Toronto Blue Jays from the Arizona Diamondbacks. San Diego Padres. Mark Melanson to the Nationals from the Pirates. And Matt Kemp. You guys who listened to Inside the Park when we first got started some 3-4 years ago, remember how much love I had for Matt Kemp. I thought Matt Kemp should have won the MVP over Ryan Braun. Okay? I won't ever forget RJ and Mike say, you know, we're tired of you and your Dodgers and you and your Matt Kemp. But Matt Kemp was a beast back then. My, how the mighty have fallen. Now he gets injured. He goes to the Padres, and now it's from the Padres to the lowly Braves. Probably went for a bag of nickels, but that's the way baseball works sometimes. And then just recently, just before we went on the air today, Andrew Miller was just traded from the Yankees to the Cleveland Indians to close out that pitching staff. Now, that's probably one of the better pitching staffs in baseball. They're number 3 in runs scored in the whole league. So that's a great move for the Indians. The question has to be, is this team for real? Well, you say over 105 games, that should show that they're very for real. So down the stretch, it looks like the Indians are looking to try to really close this out. The Indians also made a play to the Milwaukee Brewers to get Jonathan Lucroy. Yan Gomes, the Indians catcher, got very seriously injured. Could be out for the season. We don't know. But his injury is significant. And so they made a play to get Jonathan Lucroy from the Milwaukee Brewers. Lucroy has a where he can deny a trade to a team, okay? He can block a trade to a team. This is a man who plays for the Milwaukee Brewers. They're not going anywhere. Blocked a trade to go to the Central Division leading Indians. And so now that trade has been knocked off. Looked like the Texas Rangers are now trying to jump in on that play and get in play for that. Now, what cracks me up about this, and me and Dee was talking about this off air, is the fact that, okay, you're with the Milwaukee Brewers. Unless they're really giving you a discount on the beer, what you staying for? You've got an opportunity to play real baseball for the rest of the season. What are you doing? And you got all the baseball pundits that, oh, he's made a grave error. He's made a mistake. But I say, hold on. Pump your brakes a little bit. Think about this if you're Jonathan Lucroy. Okay? Fellas always say that, you know, I just go out and play. I don't hear and I don't read. You got Twitter. You got Instagram. You got Facebook. You know what teams want you. You know what teams want you. Don't sit here and act like you don't know. Okay? So do I go and play in Cleveland? But if I got a chance to play in Texas, do I got a chance to play in Los Angeles? Do I got a chance to play in Toronto, Boston? Let me think about this a minute. Okay? Who else is out there that might want to trade for me? Do I want to go? Okay? This is what I think this is all about. Now, I think that depending upon what's being offered, I think that Milwaukee, if they're wise, because there was a pretty lofty deal with some pretty nice prospects. You look at the Cleveland farm system, they got some nice prospects down there. That would have been a nice deal for Milwaukee. Okay? So now, as before we go in there, I see that Texas is making a play for Lucroy. So that's going to be a real interesting scenario, see how that plays out. I'm going to tell you what I think a little bit later in the show. But let's look at this buy or sell thing, okay? This is that time of year. Teams get right past the halfway point. Do they think they can make a run? Or does it look like, okay, it's a wrap? It's time to start to sell off some of these assets, try to get us some prospects, and let's make a go for next year. And let's look at some of these teams. Surprisingly, on the top of my list is last year's World Series champions, the Kansas City Royals. The Kansas City Royals, if it wasn't for the Minnesota Twins, would be in last place in the American League Central. This is a team that's gone to the World Series the last 2 years and won it last year. But it shouldn't be too much of a surprise that they try to ramp it up for a third year. So now, do they have any pieces when you look at this team? Do they think they can make a run next year? And if so, who is there going to be their rental player for some team out there? Well, if you look, read the tea leaves, a lot of people talking about pitcher Wade Davis. Okay, left-handed pitcher out there that could help a lot of these teams out there that's vying for a playoff spot. Davis went on 15-day disabled list today, but that should not, you know, hurt anybody or scare anybody away from him. He'd be a valuable asset to some team that's looking for pitching help. Of course, now he's not going to come cheap. Kansas City is going to look to try to contend next year. So a team is either going to have to give away maybe a front-line player and someone from their farm system. Then you look at the New York Yankees. Now, the Yankees are technically still in it, but they've already started selling off players. You know, they signed Aroldis Chapman only to trade him away. They've also got rid of Andrew Miller, okay? And now there is talk about even Carlos Beltran is on the trading block. So that's going to be very interesting to see what goes on with the Yankees. But the Yankees are trying to do what the Yankees did in the past, and that is, I think that they've realized that they cannot just buy their way to a championship. They're going to have to get some homegrown players like your Derek Jeters, like your Jorge Posadas, and get some of those guys and bring them up and let them be Yankees for life and see what happens and see if they can rekindle some of that Bronx magic. Then you look at the Chicago White Sox. Started off strong. Looked like they were going to run away with everything. And then the wheels fell off. You remember how they started the season, the White Sox. The whole Adam LaRose fiasco, you know, where he retired because he couldn't have his son in the dugout. So now, this is another team that's up and down, up and down. Meanwhile, you got a couple teams in the Central that's run away with it. Teams in the East that's starting to find their way, and now the wheels are falling off of the White Sox. Do they have pieces to sell off? Well, of course. Their biggest trading chip, Chris Sale. Chris Sale could come cheap to a team, very young, and got a 3-year deal under $12 million. He would be $12 million, and he would be a steal for some team. Where players is demanding $21, $22 million, he would be a steal for some team. Then you look at a team where I don't even know how the manager – is still the manager, and that's the Anaheim Angels. The Anaheim Angels, another team that was a playoff team last year, and now they're in last place in the West. Mike Socia must have, a Lucky Charms elf in his locker or something, because with all the talent that this team should be contending every year, you got one of the best players in the league, you got a Hall of Famer, albeit an old one, in Pujols. Okay, I don't believe that they're looking to sell. Is Jared Weaver available? Do you go after a Jared Weaver, and how much would a Jared Weaver cost you as far as prospects are concerned? Then you look again at other teams like the Tampa Bay Rays, another last-place team, lost their manager, lost a bunch of talent off that team. Chris Archer, the young pitcher, okay? His name has been bantered about, okay, that could go somewhere. Maybe to the Dodgers. As we talked about Kershaw being hurt, he would be a perfect fit there. Do the Dodgers have pieces to give away? Oh, you betcha. They have penny pieces that they could give to the Rays on a cheap, even from their farm system. You don't even need to get some front-line players for that. But I believe that for a Chris Archer, it's going to cost a pretty penny. We talked about the Brewers. We talked about Jonathan Lucroy. But what about Ryan Braun? There's a bat. You know, what about – how would he look in a Seattle Mariners uniform? Jay Bruce's name with the Cincinnati Braves has been bantered about as moving here and there, okay, as a trading chip. Look at the Colorado Rockies. What about Nolan Arenado and Carlos Gonzalez? Now, people will tell you that, oh, but Colorado's playing great right now. It's a pipe dream. Colorado's not going to win nothing as long as they're in Colorado. Unless they go and come up with three Hall of Fame pitchers to play in Coors Field, it's a wrap. And then all the money that was spent moving on to another team, the Arizona Diamondbacks, all the money that was spent to bring Zach Greinke there, and that team is dead last with the ugliest uniforms in the league. I said that last week. I said it again. What do you do with Greinke? Okay, do you keep Greinke? Do you figure out a deal where somebody can take up some of his contract? What about Paul Goldschmidt? Do you start over? I mean, you spend a lot of money this offseason, so now you're sitting here in the last place in the West, and you're not even close. You're not even close to the Rockies. So, you know, there's got to be some shakeup there with the Diamondbacks, and I'm thinking they should sell some of these pieces and try to start over again. So let's move on to all of these trades, all of these names. You know, once upon a time, I did a segment where I said, I told you so, or I eat crow, bold prediction of the trade deadline. So I'm going to bring that back for tonight. I told you so, or I eat crow, bold prediction. And this is my bold prediction. My bold prediction is that Chris Archer, the young pitcher from the Tampa Bay Rays, gets traded to the Los Angeles Dodgers. That's my I told you so, or I eat crow, bold prediction. So we will find out what happens in a couple of weeks, and I will tell you that if I told you so, or I eat crow, call. So a few more interesting. So we'll keep on looking for what's going on with the LaCroix saga. A few more miscellaneous things I want to bring up before we close our segment on tonight. I want to talk a little bit about Chris Sale. Chris Sale got suspended 5 games from the Chicago White Sox because he cut up some uniforms, throwback uniforms that the team was going to wear against the Detroit Tigers. Now, if you guys remember back or if you've seen some of the throwback uniforms some of these teams wear, the Chicago White Sox had these dark blue uniforms back in the late 70s, okay, I want to say, they had the collared shirts, and they actually wore shorts on them with them at one time. So these were the uniforms. They weren't going to wear the shorts, but these were the uniforms they were going to wear. Chris Sale raised so much hell about it that he went in and took some scissors and cut up all the uniforms, not just his uniforms, all the uniforms, okay, got suspended. First thing you got to ask, what's wrong with Chris Sale? We just got through talking about Draymond Green. What's wrong with Chris Sale? You know, can you imagine if you want to trade for Chris Sale and you're trying to play a game to try to get to the playoffs, and all of a sudden he just loses his mind, starts cutting up stuff? Oh my God, really? Really? I don't know. Maybe they should send him to Joanne Fabrics, let him make his own uniform. Moving on, Ichiro Suzuki, in his chase for 3,000 hits. When we went on today, he had 2,998, and ain't got a hit in a week. You know, I think it's something about these things that kind of get these guys just all fired up and everything. But Ichiro looking for his 3,000 hits. You know, obviously one of the most successful Japanese players in Major League Baseball. You know, here's the congratulations to him early. Big Poppy's final season. Big Poppy, if he played like this, he might want to play another 2 years. Big Poppy is getting it in. Big Poppy is not just a farewell tour for him. He is actually having an amazing season. He's up there in the league leaders in batting average and hits. He is doing a job. So, you know, Big Poppy, a quick shout-out to him. And Mike Piazza and Ken Griffey Jr. were inducted into the Hall of Fame this week. Two fine players. I had an opportunity to watch them play. The kid was bad. When he used to play in Seattle, I had an opportunity to watch him play when he was in Detroit. He was very fun to watch, had one of the sweetest swings for a left-handed hitter you want to see. And now we're going to move on to the Grand Slam Series of the Week. Now, there's some great baseball to watch out there, folks, some awesome baseball to watch. Okay, you don't have to be your home team, but there are some teams out there that's fighting for playoff spots. Then you're going to see some teams with some new looks as we go past the trade deadline, and you're going to want to have an opportunity to see them. You know, I could say you can watch two of the fine teams, a preview of a future, and maybe even this year, National League Championship Series. The Miami Marlins are playing the Chicago Cubs, and that's going to be a fun series to watch of two young teams, two very talented teams. You could also say the Texas Rangers and the Baltimore Orioles. There you're talking about two teams that are vying for playoff positions right around the top of their divisions, and that would be a nice one. But my Grand Slam Series of the Week has got to be the San Francisco Giants against the Washington Nationals. They just completed a series in San Francisco this year, and they're playing next weekend. But the marquee game has got to be Madison Bumgarner against Steven Strasburg on August 7th. You can't miss that one. That's going to be a good one. It's going to, for you folks who love the art of pitching, you got to check that one out. But I can't give you the Grand Slam Series of the Week unless I give you the Swing and a Miss Series of the Week as well. This is for those folks who don't who have teams that only a mother can love, but you ain't got nothing to do on a Tuesday night. So you go out and get a ticket that you got at your local McDonald's somewhere to say, buy a Coke, we'll give you a free ticket to the ball game. So when you're talking about that, if you want to go out and do that, that's Minnesota Twins against the Tampa Bay Rays. Okay, by the time they start playing, they probably won't have any players left. They'll probably be calling up me and D to come play the outfield. So you might want to come and check us out in our major league debut. So that's inside the park for this week. I'm telling you right now, we are going into an awesome August and going to turn into a super September. Keep watching and play ball, everybody. Good night and drive home safe.
Right.
He'll bank it off the glass on you and everything else. So we're going to let him close the show out and drop the mic. But we got this little segment. We like to hit some quick hitters in the air. I'm calling In the Headlines. And did you know, Hank, that Terrell Pryor is playing receiver? He's working at receiver for the Cleveland Browns. And they said he made a spectacular catch, I believe, today. It looking good at receiver. Did you think that you would hear Terrell Pryor again?
Yeah, I thought I would hear it again. I thought I'd hear his voice when he would ask me, do you want fries with that? But the fact that he's still in the league, I am surprised about that.
It's an incredible headline. It's something to watch if you guys are, NFL TV is doing a great job and giving some of these training camps, but saw that in the headlines. I'm going to try and keep an eye on that to see what happens with him. It could be a steal. That could be a hookup between, you know, Robert Griffin and Terrell Pryor. You know, things you can do with him because he has quarterback ability. You know, Hugh Jackson is afraid to run some trick plays with somebody throwing the ball. So this other headline, man, now this is called, like, a lot of times when I'm talking to a lot of my friends and I reflect on myself when I try to make decisions, the thing I always say, is it fool's gold? Is it too good to be true? And whether it's you thinking about a job, you thinking about another move, or for a student I'm working with is thinking about something, you know, really taking what I call the fool gold analysis. And I'm thinking that TNT should have done this. Barkley is going to be hosting a show focused on race, class, and culture called Race Card. That sounds like a collision that's going to happen. You know, sometimes we give people the air and we don't understand these issues are much deeper. I'm not nothing against Barkley. Love Charles. Love when he offers his opinion. But when you talk about something like this, you need somebody with a little different background and experience to navigate these issues. And so he's going to be working with experts. He's going to be testing this stuff out for TNT, testing it out. And the show is going to be kicking off, I think, in 2017. But it just seems like something that could create some crazy headlines. This isn't something that I think Charles can navigate easily. And so it's going to be interesting to hear that. Or Race Car, Hank.
Race car.
I mean, it sounds like some people just trying to make some money because they want to really
see. That's always what it is, and it gets kind of scary because all of a sudden they start spouting some opinions that may not be necessarily true to mainstream people that's living that. And so, especially when you're like a Charles Barkley and you done, in some cases, forgot where you came from, you might want to be careful with that.
And I mean, a prime example is his recent comments about black folks need cops. His basic premise is right. We need law and order. Like, we need safety. But it's deeper when you're talking about these issues that are happening in the streets. And so he simplifies it in ways that, to me, it can be dangerous sometimes. But now he got a whole show. We'll see how that goes.
Right.
And this is
enough noise to get his own show.
Yeah, but he's got to be able to sit back and say, that's fool's gold.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's got to be able to take a step back. Like, you got to take it just because they gave it to you.
Right.
Right? And to me, that's the problem. It's not – TNT is doing what you expect them to do. Turner is doing what you expect them to do. It's for Charles to take a step back and say, you know what, this is not a good move. Or, I like to be a part of this, but I like to do something a little broader. I like to get somebody. Maybe I like to get somebody like a Bomani Jones to be with me on this, or somebody in another space. Somebody who, you know, get a Dan Levitard who you're banging heads with, you know, but who could really get into these issues in and out. Do something different, but you can be a part of it. But we'll see how that goes. Now this one is a kicker. Manziel says he wants to play for the Cowboys. He said to TMZ as he was coming out from a party celebrating Josh Gordon's return to the NFL. He shouldn't have been partying in the first place, but he was partying. Do you think Jerry will do it?
If it's going to sell tickets, he'll do it. See, one thing about Jerry Jones, he's about trying to make some money. If the kid don't play it down, but he sells tickets because he's on the team, he'll do it. You know that.
And the crazy thing about this is, you know, I went by the Cowboys headquarters that they're trying to build. That cost more than the stadium that they got. I think he's gonna do it. Well,
If he can sign Hardy, he'll sign Manziel.
Well, we're gonna be watching that one closely. Well, we're coming down here down the stretch, and we're gonna drop the mic. You have already dropped the mic on Inside the Park segment, but we're gonna let you take 60 seconds here to drop the mic for the show. Hank, drop the mic.
Okay, listen, folks. We've got a lot of stuff going on this planet, in this country. You know, I want us to get back to where we cheer for the colors on the jersey, where we cheer after the competition is over, and we say good game, and we move on. Because, see, we're all on the same team. Regardless of what jersey we were born in, we're all on the same team. And after it's all said and done, we should be able to look at each other, shake each other's hands, pat each other on the back, and say to one another, good game.
Couldn't say it better than that. Hey, it's One Mike. Thank y'all for being here with us. Till next time.